Let us read and hear God's word this morning. As we read from the Old Testament and from the book of Psalms and Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell took hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows now unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the court of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Amen, and may the Lord grant to us blessing and understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our praise, singing to praise and sing from Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and we're singing verses 1 to 6, the first five stanzas. Thee will I love, O Lord, my strength, my fortress is the Lord, my rock, and he that doth to me deliverance afford. My God, my strength, whom I will trust, a buckler unto me, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower is he. Upon the Lord who worthy is of praises will I cry, and then shall I preserve be safe from mine enemy. Floods of ill men affrighted me, death's pangs about me went, hell's sorrows me environed, death's snares did me prevent. In my distress I called on God, cry to my God did I. He from his temple heard my voice, to his ears came my cry. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 6. Thee will I love, O Lord, my strength. Will you turn with me to the portion we read there, to Psalm 116? And there's a sentiment at the end of it that has gripped me and I couldn't get away from for our meditation this morning. Psalm 116 at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Over these past weeks, there's been building up with us what I can identify as a series, but it did not start out in that way. We've been collecting different keywords to describe and to assess
society where we are today, some of the markers that are evident amongst us. And from that survey and gathering, we've looked at the needs of the day in spiritual terms. Mob has not been poured from vessel to vessel, describing the complacency there is with people today. Peace, peace, when there is no peace, the delusion that is evident in our society and spiritual things. Your bed is too short, you can't lie it, and your blanket is too narrow, it won't cover you. The inadequacy of people today for the spiritual demands that is going to come upon them when God meets us and challenges us. The pressure that is upon every one of us in our thinking and our memory. Do not let the world squash you or crush you into its mold, but be ye transformed through the mercies of Jesus Christ. Yes, that's the society we're living in today. And what we need is somebody like Daniel, dare to be a Daniel, to stand up and to stand out for the things that he was content and comfortable in and with. But we don't just simply preach and bring the message to the crowds and to the audiences on a mass scale. Our message indeed must have power, and we saw that in the preaching that Peter engaged in on the day of Pentecost, when having finished, the people says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they were all convicted in their hearts. But there must also be a solemn warning, and the watchman on the walls with the responsibility of threatening when the threatening of the enemy approaches. If he does it, responsibility passes to those who respond accordingly. If he doesn't, the responsibility stays with him. And then last week we had that coming down. And if you've been looking at it, we've been taking our focus narrower and narrower and narrower. And then last week we were looking at the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and the way in which Jesus said to him, "Go sell what you've got and take up your cross and follow me." The challenge that comes down to us, that must come down to us through the gospel ministry. It must have that very personal point. It must have that very personal application to every one of us as we sit underneath it today and in other places at other times. How can I be right with God? Simple question that brings everything into focus with us. We together have to face a problem called sin. We cannot solve that problem ourselves. We're coming into the Easter season, and the Lord takes those who are concerned on these spiritual things, and he leads us to the cross where the only solution can be found. And he lays upon us that requirement that we heard given to the rich young ruler, to take up our cross and follow him. In all that we've been saying, that's the conclusion that we're coming to, the repeated challenge of the cross, isolating us, just you and your God, alone underneath the ministry of this word. And so we come to what I would like to think is the last step for the moment in that journey and in that collecting of keywords we've been engaged in. Yes, the challenge facing that rich young ruler to give up and to follow the Lord. And so today, if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, if that's the dealings of the Lord with you, then next week we come to our communion season. And there is there the opportunity to make public what you've experienced personally and what you believe in passionately. These words I have not been able to get out of my mind. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There, this man is making known that Jesus Christ, my Savior, died for me. That's the challenge that I want us to take from these words. That's what the Lord has for every one of us here this morning. It's only been a few weeks back since we were looking at a portion of this Psalm 116. I don't want to revisit it and to look at it again just so soon. But what I do want to do is to hold on to that question that he asks. And I do want us to hold on to the response that he gives us. What shall I render to the Lord? I will take that cup. The psalmist here, he's been through a very intense spiritual experience. He doesn't give us any of the nitty-gritty of specific detail. But whatever it was deeply personal. It was a profound effect upon him. He was brought to the very edge. He might even have looked over. And he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord heard him and the Lord delivered him. That's the kind of experience that we and our nation needs today. Spirituality and things Christian are at a low ebb amongst us. And we need a breaking in of that to our own life and into our national life. This confrontation of spiritual truths that we all of us are brought to the edge. That we all of us look at ourselves, not with the veneer that we've created about us, but stripped down to the chassis of God's assessment and examination of us. We need this kind of assessment to be awakened and to be disturbed in a similar way. The way we think and the way we live, to be put underneath the glaring light and the penetrating assessment of God's word. And we also need this wonderful deliverance to be ours. It's not contentious simply to have our lives dismantled. That is what we need, but that's not the end of the process. What we need is that wonderful deliverance of being put together again to live not for ourselves, but for our God. Well, without going into the details, he tells us this. And by not going into the details, he gives us a format we can identify with ourselves. He's been through it all. So what he's doing now is he's going up to the temple. And he's going up to the temple with a very specific purpose. He's going there, first of all, to tell others what God has done for him. The Lord has helped him. But more importantly than that, he's going to pay his vows before God's people publicly. But especially he's going to meet with his God. He's going there to perform the vows that he has made with the Lord when he was in his troubles. The Lord dealt with him and the Lord met with him and he spoke with the Lord and the Lord with him. We're not told what the transaction was. But here is a man, and we can almost imagine with our minds the vibrancy. We can almost imagine the joy. We can see certainly something of the flesh and blood of what this man has been through. We can identify with. He's going up. He's going to meet with God. And he's going to make public what the Lord has done for him. Before we go anywhere else, perhaps we should stop and pause there ourselves for the challenge that comes from this man's life to us. We ask a question as this man asked a question of himself. In the light of his experience, we ask this simple question. Do you know the Lord doing something similar for yourself? Can you speak of some great thing the Lord has done for your soul? every one of us is put to the mark. The line is drawn and we've got to put our toes to it this morning. And God asks us this question. Do we know? Can we speak? Have we got the experience of something wonderful and amazing that God has done for our soul? That would provoke similar kind of excitement and enthusiasm that is evident in this psalm. He speaks passionately of what God has done. Can we? In the light, therefore, of what God has done for him, what is the appropriate response? There's a whole weight. There's a whole pressure bears down upon this man that is totally irresistible. He is there saying, he asks the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I want to take that simple experience then of this man. As I say, I'm not going into the psalm itself. But what I want to do is I want to take what this man felt, what this man knew. I want us to take something of what this man's experience might have been. And I want to flash it out, and I want us to tease it out and to expand it in a way. He asks the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? And will you therefore turn with me now, just a few psalms before that one, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, because there the psalmist is expanding and developing something that I want us now to linger upon. He says there, and I read, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who hath forgiven all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Here is the psalmist teasing out something of the benefits he has received. Some of these benefits we can identify with ourselves, but all of them together will be an irresistible burden he felt we need as we prepare and go forward to that communion next Lord's Day. So just for a moment this morning, I want us to take 116 and Psalm 103 together, and to have one to illustrate and to flesh out the other. To have one that challenges us with that question and gives us an answer, and the other psalm to present a challenge to ourselves. Have we experienced the things spoken of here? And the first thing I want us simply to see in this few words in Psalm 103 is the delight, the sheer delight that the psalmist had that we've experienced and mentioned already in 116. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Here he is summoning himself. He's speaking with himself. Some people would put that down as a negative trait, but it's a good specific. It's a good spiritual trait to speak with yourself, to speak with your soul. And that's what he's doing and telling us to do. Blessing the Lord. He's engaging in a spiritual exercise. He's conscious. Yes, he's conscious, as we know ourselves, that in spiritual things especially, we've talked about the pressure that's on us from society about us. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold of thinking. Well, yes, we know that, don't we? We can be so involved in what's going through life 9 to 5, 24/7. We can be so involved with the legitimate pursuits of life that we can forget spiritual truths that have been given to us and shared with us. We can forget the benefits that the Lord has bestowed upon us. Yes, we can pass over them maybe just too quickly and don't let the water seep into our soul to affect us. And so therefore the psalmist is right at the very beginning says, don't forget. Don't forget all that the Lord has done for you. We have a fearful pace of life today. We seem to be chasing the clock in everything that we do. And Psalm 46 tells us, be still. Be still. Take a time out. Put the clock on hold. Press the pause button. Whatever figure and cliche you wish. But just take time to think and to speak with your soul of the good things God has done for you. Do not forget all his benefits. But not only does he say in negative terms, he says, don't forget. He then goes on, he says, bless the Lord. He is seeking to stir up his soul to praise and bless the Lord. He's gathering together all of the goodness. He's gathering together all of the blessings. He's gathering together the things the Lord has lavished upon him through the journey of life. And just as we were saying about Psalm 116, so this man in Psalm 103, he's feeling the weight of all these things bearing down upon him, an irresistible weight of God's goodness and God's mercy. He speaks about the way in which he's been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. Do we know the Lord's dealings with us in that quality? Do we know something of God coming beside us and God blessing us richly and abundantly? What is it then for you and me, if we know the Lord, how can we bless the Lord? We cannot add anything to his character. We cannot increase his greatness. We cannot enlarge his goodness. How are we to bless our Lord? Let me suggest just two or three brief words in which we might fulfill that. Yes, we can bless the Lord by reflection. Just by thinking, remembering again what he's telling us here. As we said, the pace of life goes against meditations today. What has God done for you? Think of his faithfulness. Think of his redemption. Think of his salvation. Think of the abundant richness. In Luke chapter 6, I think it's at verse 38, it talks about good measure pressed down, compacted together. Something that is really compressed. Not only that, but then it runs over. That's something of the scale of the blessings that God has for his people. Alone with your soul and with your Bible. Alone before God and the cross. Alone with yourself and your conscience. Just think of what God has done for you. The mercies and the tokens since you came to know him. The way in which he has blessed you, preserved you and enriched you. And as you do that, the experience coming will be that similar to David. You just stagger and reel under the enormity of all that God has done for you. When in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God spoke with David and said to David, look, I'm going to build a house. And I'm going to establish a kingdom. And I'm going to build my nation, and it's going to be centered upon you and your family.
me and my family?
And in 2 Samuel 7, you see David staggering. And he does something we've noticed. He sits down in the presence of God. What an amazing thing to do. But that's the effect of thinking, of reflecting on what God has done for you. To bless the Lord. Reflection. But also, how else do we bless the Lord? We bless the Lord by relating. Tell other people what God has done for you. We're in a society today where if things go against us and if things go bad, people are very, very quick to open their mouth and to blame God. Well, it's happened because God has... And so the story goes on. And they're pouring out the sourness of their soul against the God who's blessed them. It's going on round about us all the time. Well, if that's the way people are, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. If no one is going to speak about the Lord, and everything that is said about the Lord is going to be negative, then here is somebody who's going to be positive. I'm going to tell people of what the Lord has done for me. The way in which being good and gracious in a wonderful way. Reflection. Relating. The third way in which we can bless the Lord, by reacting. We have it there in Psalm 116. He asks the question, what am I going to do? And he says, I'm going to take the cup. Something public, something seen, something that is plain, spiritual, not complicated, not difficult, but something very passionate to himself. You think of Mary. Mary who came in John 12 and joined the company of the disciples, and what did she do? She took the jar of ointment and anointed the Lord. And that's what she did as a reaction to the things the Lord had said and spoken and done for her. Her sins were forgiven. And she knew it personally in her heart and in her soul. And that's the way she demonstrated her reaction to what the Lord had done for her. Doing something costly. Doing something new. Taking the cup and confessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's the delight. But how did he see, secondly, how does he discharge that delight? He says, O my soul, and all that is within me. We are living, as we've said there in our summary, in a society where complacency is the name of the game. We're living in a society where delusion is widespread amongst us. All you've got to do is listen to some things that are said at funerals and such like when people die, and you cringe because of what is said. People are ignorant. They don't know what they're saying, and they don't know who they're speaking to. They don't even know what they're speaking about. And we're living in that kind of apathy today. And here is this man. And here's a man who's enjoyed spiritual blessings from God. And he's going to discharge this delight of blessing the Lord in two ways. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Not a voice, presenter, not a choir, not an organ. No musical instrument whatsoever. But he's asking to do something which is a lot more difficult than playing or training in any of these things we've just mentioned. He is summoning his innermost being. You know, we're conscious of it. It is possible to come before God. And to come before God with words. But our heart is far from the Lord. And the Lord sees where the eye of man cannot go. From that very center of our being, the Lord looks down for a very important quality in us. He looks there for thankfulness, for faith. He looks there for worship and praise of his name. We have been redeemed. Therefore, from the depth of our redeemed soul, let us praise and worship our God. The body might decay. Our lips might become weak and frail. But as long as our heart beats, let it beat for the Lord. We might become dumb and our words might become gibberish. But as long as the mind or the will works, let us commit ourselves to our God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But not just simply, O my soul. He goes on and he says, and all that is within me. He is recruiting every faculty he's got. He is throwing in everything that makes him what he is. No half-heartedness about this man's worship, but out and out for his God. His feelings, his emotions, everything about him. Do we come at the end of the Sunday services? Do we come at the end of the services feeling that we've been drained? Are we tired after worship? Are we tired because we've committed ourselves in singing, in thinking, in worshipping our God? We can go through all the departments of life, all that is within us. Go through every department, every diary down through the years that you've gathered, all the different experiences. Gather them all together and collect the jewels of what God has done for you. In your younger years, when foolishness was so obvious then, maybe not seen, but seen now from a distance. When foolishness was there rampant in your life. So many dangers and the Lord preserved you. Other times perhaps you came into a very specific situation where the Lord protected you from danger when it threatened you in a real and a physical way. When you were confronted with a decision to make and you just simply weren't able to make it, you didn't see the way chaos was confronting you, but the Lord opened up a path and gave you wisdom and strength to go down it. So it goes on. That's what the psalmist was doing. All that is within him. He was recruiting every facet of his experience and every dimension of his living. But particularly on top of all of that, he was laying especially his experience of pardon and forgiveness at the hand of his God. He had indeed this summons challenging him and challenging us. He had abundant reason to worship his God. And so he challenges us to do the same. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And then he goes on to deploy simple reasons. Yes, the delight, yes, the discharge of it. But why? Why is there this enthusiasm about such a believer? Remember what was said about Paul when he spoke before the king. He says, listen, Paul, much learning has made you mad. You're all over the top. You're OTT in the way you're speaking about your Christian faith. Well, He might have been OTT, but he had a recent been OTT. He had experienced amazing things at God's hand. And there are amazing underpinning foundations for the behavior and the enthusiasm of every Christian. And they're given to us here, five of them together. Bless the Lord and not forget all his benefits. Why? And there we have them listed for us in verses 3 to 5. There's a constant danger of being forgetful. Solemn warnings are given against it. We can quickly, we can quickly slide into pride today. It's a danger there is for every believer. There's so much dry kindling. We're getting into that time of year with ourselves. Dry, dead material over the winter time. East wind dries it up, and all it needs is a spark, and the hillside's on fire. All it needs is a spark to the kindling in our heart, and pride is burning us up. We can be so involved with what's going on round about us. Don't let what's happening or the plans for tomorrow steal away the blessings of today. He comes then and he speaks about reasons. Who hath forgiven all thine iniquities? The first, the most important, the most precious, and the most valued gift to any penitent sinner, to be forgiven, is the one thing the convicted soul is pursuing after more than anything else. How can I have rest in my soul? How can I be at peace with myself and with my God? How? And I try anything and everything that's going. And I'll try anything that's on offer. And I come up with the same conclusion every time. It's not working, it's not working, it's not working. And I come to an end of myself. And there the Lord meets me at wit's end corner. And he tells me and he shows me what I need. And he brings me to the cross where my sins can be forgiven. Not only does he forgive my sins, he heals my diseases. Sin can have a profound effect upon us when it's got a habit hold of our life. Sin can have a fearful effect upon our mind and our memory and our experiences, our relationship with others round about us. And all of that needs healing. Forgiveness can be in a moment when the Lord speaks to us. But healing takes a bit longer. And the Lord heals the brokenhearted. The Lord heals the limping and the lame. The Lord heals those who are disfigured, profoundly disfigured, because of the effect of sin spoiling and marring in life. The pride that's got a grip, the indifference, the way in which we tolerate slack habits, the way in which anger boils up, the way in which sloth or lust or any of these sins creep in the back door of our life, put down their roots and become lodgers and dwellers. And it's just not so easy to throw them out. But the Lord is the one who heals. He heals us, constantly changing us into his likeness and in his image. Not only does he do that to us, he redeems thy life from destruction. All the things that we've done in life, where would they have brought us where we'd left to ourselves? We're on the broad road to destruction, and it brings us down into the confines of hell and the experience of exclusion from God forever. Be in no doubt that's where sin would have taken us. Down into that fearful experience. And what has the Lord done? But he has redeemed us. He has redeemed his people from destruction. The Lord has saved us and taken us from that broad road and put us upon that narrow way. And instead of going down into outer darkness and condemnation forever, our eyes have been uplifted and our feet have been set on the road that leads to the heavenly Jerusalem through the narrow gate from the cross of Calvary, salvation in Jesus Christ. He has redeemed your life from destruction, and it gets richer still. He has crowned your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. People will turn to you today and say, to be a Christian, you're living your life one inch deep. You're so superficial in what you're saying and what you're doing. You're just simply a cardboard cutout of what life really is. But when you speak to the Christian and the Christian goes below the surface, you find exactly what he says here to be true. The Lord has filled your life. He's crowned it with loving kindness and tender mercies. You may at one time have been as dry as a bone bleached in the noonday sun. You might have been at one time without a drop of sap in your life, and that's the way David was after he sinned with Bathsheba, and that's the way the book of Ecclesiastes describes man in general today. You've got nothing. You try everything, but it doesn't work. And then we come to what the Lord says, and he says, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He fills the life of his children with a blessing that is amazing, remarkable, and of a quality never tasted before. He satisfies your life with good things. You once dragged your life along in the gutter, but now you soar as high as an eagle. You've got a whole new dimension to you. And even when you're getting old, Psalmist tells us, and in old age when others fail, when there is nothing left but memories of days gone by, there is the glory of Emmanuel's land to fill the believer. He satisfies you with good things. You have been renewed. You have been redeemed. The blessings. The blessings that the Lord bestows upon his people. The blessings that are shared with us here in 103. We've unpacked them as best we can. Put them all back together in the box and take them now with you. Back to the psalm we started with. Psalm 116. What does he say there? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? We've looked at some of these benefits. The question lingers now with us. The question stays, but it comes now with a lot more force. Because we know what these benefits are. We know what the Lord has done for us. He speaks to us, he challenges us. What shall I render to the Lord for all his gifts to me? What shall I give him? The psalmist tells us, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless thy name for thy goodness to thy people, for thy grace bestowed in Jesus Christ thy Son, for the richness of the message and inheritance given in the gospel proclamation. And so we pray, Lord, that every one of us here this morning, as we have heard something from thyself, enable us to hold on to it. We don't know the thinking, the experiences of anyone round about us, but all of us are open to thee. And so we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember us, that thou wouldst meet with us, and thy rich and gracious blessing be upon us.
and on thy word to us this day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
We close our service this morning by singing some portion of that Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and from the beginning of the Psalm, we're singing verses 1 through 6, the first four stanzas. I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Of death the cords and sorrows did about me compass round. The pains of hell took hold on me, I grief and trouble found. Upon the name of God the Lord, then did I call and say, Deliver thou my soul, O Lord, I do thee humbly pray. God merciful and righteous is, yea, gracious is our Lord. God saves the meek. I was brought low, he did me help afford. Psalm 116, I love the Lord. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.